than anything else in this life. And He is a faithful God. He's a faithful Father. Heard about a man who was walking along, didn't realize he was getting so close to the crevice, and he fell over. And about 10 feet or so, here is this branch, and he reaches out and he grabs a hold of it. And he's hanging on for dear life because there's just nothing but 200 or 300 drop underneath him. And he starts hollering for help. Help, somebody help me. Help, somebody helps me. And so on. And finally he hears a voice. Let go. Somebody help me. He keeps hollering, somebody help me. He says, I said, let go. Well, who are you? I am God. Let go. Is there anybody else up there? Hallmark had a movie about a woman and her little girl who basically got hired by this big talk executive and owner of a factory and to be his, act like he was her wife and little girl and so on. And the world goes on. But at the end of the movie, because her real father rejected her and whatever, and the little girl was all upset, and it's wintertime, she goes running out the front door as her dad is driving away, saying he'll never see her again. And she climbs up into this tree. And it's icy, as it would be in the winter. She gets way up there, and she slips and falls and grabs a hold of a branch. And here this man, basically, who has really fallen in love with her, says to her, let go, and I'll catch you. Let go, and I'll catch you. Well, when he was a little boy, he used to play catch with his dad, and he couldn't catch the ball. And so his dad would ridicule him, make fun of him, and on and on and on the story goes. You'd have to see it to appreciate it. But finally, with her mother begging and him pleading with her, I love you, I won't drop you, she lets go of the branch. She falls, and he catches her in his arms. She wraps her arms around his neck and says, you caught me. You caught me. Versus here was the father who took his little boy, 5 years old, set him up on an automobile. Said, jump, and I'll catch you. Said, I'm your father. I promise you. I won't lie to you. I'll catch you. Just jump into my arms. And the little boy, hesitant, didn't want to, afraid, scared to death. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm your father. I love you. You can trust me. Jump. And so the little boy finally, you know, gets the old action going, and he leaps. And the dad spats back and lets him fall flat on his face. And he says, there, don't you ever trust anybody again. How many of you had those kind of experiences in your life? Think about it. We've all been let down by people, haven't we? Isn't it difficult to put your whole trust and faith in the fact that you have a God, a Father in heaven, who is wholly, completely faithful? Now, the word faithful means one who is firm and unwavering. It means that he is completely adhering to the promises that that person has made. He is completely adhering to. If he makes a promise, it means he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. It implies a firm resistance to desert, to betray, or to leave the one to whom the promise or the promises are made. And so it was in the book of Deuteronomy that the apostle, as he's writing, the prophet, as he's writing, he says to Israel through Moses, your God, the God of Israel, is the faithful God. He is a faithful God. Your God is a faithful God. How about yours? How about yours? Psalms 105 states, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. His faithfulness is to all generations. Faithful means he is firm. He is unwavering. He adheres to the promises that he has made, whatever those. And to the one to whom he has made the promise or the promises, he says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Over and over in the book, he told Moses, I will go with you. I will be with you. He told Abraham, I will be with you. I'll go with you. He told Joseph, I will be with you. I will go with you. He told all of these prophets of the Old Testament, if you read the book, Jeremiah, Isaiah, on and on and on, to everyone he made a promise, and the promise was, I will go with you. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not desert you. I'm promising you. And I am a faithful God. Isaiah's testimony is so clear in Isaiah 25 and 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders. Plans have been formed long ago, which you have performed with perfect faithfulness. Perfect faithfulness. Everything that God has said in his word, he has performed it. And he's performed it perfectly. Perfectly. Not a flaw in whatever God does. It is always perfect. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, Paul said, God is faithful. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2:13, if you are faithless, and many times we are, many times we don't have any faith at all, and we have no trust in God at all. We just are lost in a weary land, no answer, no question. But if we are faithless, the Bible says he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. He's a faithful God. You can put your 100% trust in him because he's unwavering. He is completely faithful. So if we don't have faith, doesn't change God at all. He's not going to change. He's still loving. He's still kind. He's still forgiving. He's still everything that he is because he can't deny who he is. He is God, and he's a faithful God. Period. Get it? Period. I use that a lot now. Period. I'm quoting somebody. Period. But anyway, to substantiate the faithfulness of God, there is a principle in God's word that you have got to know, understand, apply, and put your confidence and real assurance in this great, unchanging principle. You know what it is? Malachi 3:16. For I, the Lord, do not change. For I, the Lord, do not change. In fact, James tells us in 1:17 that every good thing you experience in life, and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of light. Now listen to it. He's the Father of lights. In him there is no darkness at all. And in the Father of lights there is a principle, because the principle of this light, there is no variation or turning of shadow. You know, a light, shadows change, don't they? As the sun goes down, the shadow changes. But God, who is the author of light, and in him there is no darkness at all, the Bible says that with him there is no variation and there is no shifting shadow. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Now, I don't know. Do you get the principle? The principle is very much a fact of your faith and believing that the God who delivered and was the God of the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. I mean, he is the same. He hasn't changed. His word and his principles of how he worked with people through the fathers and the patriarch, through the prophets and through Moses, and now through Christ, that may have changed, but God hasn't. God hasn't. You're putting your faith in the same God that Abraham did, Moses did. All these prophets, all these people of the Old Testament put their faith in the same God you are, or you're supposed to be anyway. Anyway, okay. And so as the Hebrew writer says, we put our faith, total faith, in an unchanging God who is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I don't know how, look at your walk. How stable is it? I mean, think about it. We're not to waver. stumbling through life. James says that he who is faithful is able to keep you from falling. He's not going to let you fall flat on your face. He's able to do that. He's faithful. Think about it. How is your life? How stable is it? How clear is it? My granddad used to say that common sense comes from a stable mind. Remember that principle? Well, your mind then can't be any variation of shadow or turning in your mind as far as God is concerned, because if He does not change, your faith is in a God who does not change. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, and there is no shadow, and so that should straighten out your walk. Why? Because the righteous shall and do walk by faith. Faith, okay? It is there. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about these three young men who are ordered by Nebuchadnezzar and by the Babylonian prophets that all of Babylonian was to bow down and worship their gods. You know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the gods of the Babylonian. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard that, he became very angry. And so he ordered the fiery furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than normal. And he brought these three young men, dragged them in front of him. And those three young men and what they said to Nebuchadnezzar echoes down to the chambers of history. Whether it be so, O king, our God, who we serve, can deliver us from that fiery furnace and from your hands, O God, O king. And what were they doing? They're expressing their faith in a faithful God. And what did God do? Nebuchadnezzar looked at the fire furnace and he said, wait a minute. Didn't we just put three in there? Who's the other one? Isn't there four? And he appeared to them as the Son of Man. I will not leave you. I don't know what your fiery furnace is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know all the tribulation and problems that you're dealing with in life, but I do know this, you have them. Jesus said, fear not, little ones, I've overcome the world, but in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will have that which will put your faith to the test, James says. Isn't that what he said? But do you think God is faithful and will prove himself to be faithful to you? And that he will deliver you from your fiery furnace in his time and in his way? Think about it. Remember the Hebrew writer said, do not waver, for he who promised is faithful. And so when I think about Jesus in Matthew 19:26, he said there, with God, all things are possible. Now, I don't know what your Bible says, but you know, when I read my Bible, I believe what it says. Because my faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... So if it's in here and it says it, and it finds for me the very principles of the God that I believe in, who loved me enough to send his Son to die for me, I just believe that if God is for me, nothing can be against me. Do I have trouble? Do I have trial? Do I have situation? Do I have head gaskets blown? Do I have brakes going on my car? Do I have times and situations in my life where I don't know where the next dollar is coming from, but all of a sudden, by the grace of God, somebody gives me a $500 check? I'm serious. Mel and I can give testimony after testimony. We have had our trial. We raised 5 kids. We know what it's like to go through situations. Their cars break down. They have problems. They get sick. Our grandchildren now are having the same issue. I have grandsons calling me because they have issues and situations in their life, and they don't know what to do, and they call Grandpa for advice, for wisdom, for direction, and whatever, and they're way out there. And yet when they call me back and we get through the situation, they can be, and they're so thankful, and they tell me, Grandpa, God did it. You told me you would. You see, God can't do a thing for you if you don't have the kind of faith this book talks about. Faith comes by hearing. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know why Israel fell in the wilderness? I mean, did they not see the Red Sea open? Did they not see all the famine, the blood, the frogs, the lice? Did they not see all of that? Did they not see the quail and the manna blown into the camp? Did they not see the water come forth from the rock of Rephidim and flow and follow them through the wilderness? And God had said and promised them, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. But he didn't say a thing about them leaving him. See, that's the difference, isn't it? God won't leave us. Can we leave him? Can we? You bet we can. But I want to read again the testimony of my father Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, it's given to you there. And I don't know how many times or how often you have read it. But this is my passage of scripture. I probably read this one 2 to 3 times a week. Reminded me of my father Abraham. Because if you are a child of Abraham, it's not by physical birth or lineage. It's because you have the same faith that Abraham had. And if you have the faith of Abraham, you are one of his children. Got it? Okay? So let's see what faith of Abraham is. In chapter 4, verse 17, you could start reading earlier, but that's where I'm staying. It says, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, calls unto being that which does not exist. And hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not what? He did not what? He didn't waver in unbelief, but grew strong in what? In faith, giving what? Glory to God. And being fully, notice that, fully, not halfway. Fully assured. What? Fully assured what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake. Bill, for your sake. For your sake, Bill, this has been written and told about this man, Abraham, to who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who has delivered over because of our transgression was raised because of our justification. This was written. It's in the biblical text. It happened in Abraham's life. Just not for him, but for me too. That if I have the same faith Abraham has, it will be accredited to me for righteousness. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you empty? How do you get righteousness? It's by faith and obedience, not doubting, not wavering, that there is a God in heaven who is faithful, who will not leave you, who will not forsake you. He will fulfill every promise that he's made in this book. And we'll go over those later, not today. Okay? But think about it, all right? Abraham was fully assured, fully confident, no questions asked, that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Whether it be so, O King, whether it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from that furnace and from your hands, O King. What is your God able to do? If he doesn't change, if he's the same God that he was in the Old Testament, then what's the problem? It all comes back to Bill Horton. It comes back to the measure of my own personal faith in an unchanging, faithful God who loves me more than anything else in this life and has given his son to prove it. There should be no doubt in your mind that God loves you. 1 John 3:16 says, how do we know that God loves us? He gave his son to die for us. Read it. 1 Corinthians 2:5, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Not in, on. There's a difference between putting your faith in something. How many people are putting their faith in the government today? Or putting their faith in this, or putting their faith in that? What you put your faith in is not in, it's on. You put your life, your everything, every aspect of your being, you're laying it on the altar of God, and you're putting your faith in that God that you're laying it on. You're laying it on God. Isn't that what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and lay your burdens on me. God took his son, laid him on a cross, and God put your sins and my sins and laid them upon his son. Laid them on his shoulder. Isn't that what he did? There's a difference between his sin being in Christ, our sins being in Christ, because they weren't. He was sinless, but our sins were laid on him. So it is that you put your faith on God, that God is going to do exactly what he promised that he's going to do on your behalf as one of his children. Romans 1:17, for the righteousness of God, his faithfulness is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Well, how about the faith chapter? Think about it. Just a quick overview of it. How about Noah? The promise that God made to him. How many of you would have went through a Noah, the ridicule, the laughing, the scorning, and built an ark? You'd never seen it rain before. But God promised what? There's going to be a flood. So what Noah and his three sons and their daughters do? They build an ark. They build an ark. And God told Noah, I will be with you. Build the ark. What if he hadn't have? How about Abraham? Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of Chaldees unto a land that I will show you. Pack up your bags. That's my order. Take Sarah, take your wife, take everyone, and you're going to leave. You're going where? Where are you taking me? I said, I will show you. And so by faith, Abraham wandered in the wilderness all the way up to Haran, later into the promised land that was later given to Israel as his descendants. Wow. And so when you think about Abraham taking his only begotten son Isaac up into the mount to offer him up as a sacrifice, would you have done that? Trusting and knowing and believing in the faithfulness of God, because God had promised Abraham that he would become, his seed would become as numberless as the stars of the sky, sands of the seashore, and that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham had faith that that was God's promise, and he was able, fully assured, that God could do it. Amen? And so he did. He did exactly what God told him. How about the life of Moses? Where can you look at Moses' life and not see faith? Would you go on back and face Pharaoh? I mean, he made every excuse in the world why he couldn't do it. Throw down the rod, turned into a snake. Okay, Moses, I'll let Joshua go with you and he'll be your spokesman. You see, every excuse he gave, God took it away. Did you notice that? Have you noticed what God did? He just left Moses with no other option. So what happened? He said, Moses, I will go with you. I will be with you. And we will set my people free. So he went, didn't he? Think about it. I can't go through all of them, but you ought to. Because some of them were sawed in two. Some of them imprisoned and jailed. Some of them went through a hideous persecution and unbelievable trauma of life and on and on. And it reads about them all and tells all the things that they went through and on and on and on. Even talks about Sarah. Have you ever read Hebrews 11:11, where the Bible says, by faith Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. Why? Because she considered him faithful who had promised. The whole chapter is the hall of fame of people who lived, died, people who obeyed God and did God's will, but they went through hell while they did it. And then it goes on and says to you and me, are you listening? This is what he says to you and me today. All these things, all these people, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us. Something better for us, so that apart from us, they could not be made perfect. Now you got to hear the rest of the story. Because I'm telling you, you and I can fall in the wilderness of our lives too today if we murmur, complain, and find fault and don't walk by faith. That's what happened to Israel. And then you find in chapter 2, it says we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. I believe we got a great crowd of these people who have lived and died by faith who are up there watching us run the race today. I really do. Why? Because they know that their perfection and the end result of their faith and everything is being consummated and made perfect through the church, the kingdom of God today. And they want us to cross the finish line and win the race because it's on their behalf and our behalf. We're running. You understand that? You got the responsibility to run, to pick up the crown and run and run and run. When I was running track, I used to go down to the office and put on weights on both feet. And then I had that weight on all day long. Just before I run the half mile, I'd take them off, or the 440. And I'm telling you, my legs felt like feathers. And man, could I run. I could reach my top speed in about 3 to 4 strides. I could be going as fast as I could go. And I'd leave them in the dust. But I had to take the weight off to do it. So what does he say? Lay aside that weight, that sin, that issue in your life that's keeping you from running the race. And some of you haven't taken it off. You got to take the weight off. You're not just running for your salvation. You're not just running for your faith. You're running for the great cloud of people that are up there witnessing and looking down. We're on stage, people. The Greek word is clear. We're on a stage of performance, and they're watching us, and they're cheering you on. They want you to cross the finish line, and you need to see him. That is Christ standing at the end when you cross the finish line. Well done! And catching you in his arms, taking you home into the very presence of God, because that's what he promised that he will do. And John chapter 10, this is what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father a one. Now what do? I got through this and I kind of changed it and evaluated a little bit and shared it with Marilyn. I'm going to share it with you today. Because I really believe that in essence this is me speaking to you today. Each morning when I awake, I say, I will place by faith my hand in God's today. I know he'll walk close to my side, my every wandering step to guide. He leads me when the tenderest care, when paths are dark and I despair. Nor need for me to understand if I by faith hold on to his hand. My hand by faith in his, no surer way to walk in safety through the day. By his great bounty, I am fed, warned by his love, and comforted. When at the day's end, I seek my rest, and realize how much I have been blessed, my thanks pour out to him above, and then I place by faith my hand in his again. Now you ask my wife if I don't do that. And I don't do that before we go to sleep, and I pray that God will be with us. I call upon Him to keep His promises to me. If He's made those promises to me, then I call on Him by faith to keep them to me. How about you? I mean, we're living in dire straits right now. And I really do not fear what's coming upon the world. I do not have any fear at all. I got up this morning, prayed, and placed my hand in God's. And I believe nobody can take my hand away from His except me. He's not going to let go of me. But I got to put my hand in His, right? Like the little boy walking down the street with his father, hand in hand. All of a sudden, they hit a patch of ice, and his feet go right out from under him. Right down on his little bottom he goes. Finally, the father helped him up and everything else. And so he says, "Daddy, you take and hold my hand because you won't let me go." See, if you got a hold of His hand, you can let go anytime you want to. But if you let God take your hand, He's going to hold on to it firm, unwavering. Every promise He's made, He's going to hold firm to it. He won't betray you. He won't let you down. He'll be faithful to you until the end. But I'm to live faithful unto death, that I can receive the crown of life. Great is your faithfulness. Carol beautifully played that. We're going to stand together. And I want you to sing it from your hearts, that God is a faithful God. Okay? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Sing it. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new faces I see. All I have needed, Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Did you mean that? Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Well, thank you. Mel and I will leave for vacation tomorrow morning, going out to see our girls. And hopefully we'll have safe. Pray for our safety. Pray for our vehicles. Pray for us to have a wonderful time with Jody and Michelle and so on, okay? And so just want you to know that. Next Lord's Day, Jeff will be preaching and teaching. Pray for him. And so far, every time I come home, I get the feeling that everybody liked to hire him. But Jeff's a man of God. He loves the Lord, loves the Word, and you'll be blessed. You'll be fed, no question about it. So we appreciate your prayer. We will meet tonight for Bible study, okay? And we'll continue studying Luke as a teacher and see the beginning of his book in particularly, because it's really enriching in that aspect, okay? Let's pray. Father in God in heaven, we thank you for your unchanging faithfulness. And I just pray that we will indeed love you and serve you and live and walk by faith, knowing that every promise you have made, you will perform it in accordance with your will and to the end purpose that we can glorify you and ultimately end in being in your presence someday because of your faithfulness. Bless each and every one here today. Guide and direct us safely as we travel back to our homes, and help us, Lord, not to forget, but to continually place our hand in your hand and let you hold firm, because I know that nothing can snatch us out of your hand. We're thankful for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. the day.